Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, the creator and host of the award-winning podcast that you're listening to right now. Thank you so much, called Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. It is a daily podcast, 365 days a year, and each day we talk to an author about all of the things related to their career, their book, their life, and more in 30 minutes or less, because who has time? I am now an author myself, although I wasn't when I started this podcast, and you can get my new memoir, Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, wherever books are sold starting July 1st, and my children's book, Princess Charming. You can learn more about me at ZibbyOwens.com, but really, you're here to learn more about the authors, and that is what we're going to do. Also, be sure to check out all the other podcasts in the ZCast Podcast Network. You can learn more at ZCastNetwork.com and definitely check out those shows as well. I loved interviewing Allison Trowbridge, who has become a good friend in a very short period of time. She is the founder of Copper Books, which you should definitely check out. I actually invested in Copper because I thought it was so cool. It's an app called Copper Books, and Allie is an author as well. So her official bio, Allison Trowbridge, is the author of 22. Letters to a Young Woman Searching for Meaning. She is the founder and CEO of Copper Books, the social app for book lovers, helping authors and readers build community around books. She published her first book, 22, in 2017 with HarperCollins, while completing her MBA at the University of Oxford. Allison fell in love with the publishing world after witnessing a handful of books ignite the global anti-slavery movement, where she worked for nearly 10 years, leading marketing, fundraising, and international campaigns at the Freedom Fund, Not for Sale, and as a partner at an impact investment fund, Just Business. So check out Allie, listen to our really fun conversation, and definitely go download the Copper Books app. Welcome, Allie. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss your book and our mutual lucky number. 22 letters.
22
letters to a young woman searching for meaning.
Oh, Zibby, I'm so thrilled we're doing this. Any excuse to get to spend time with you is a huge win for me. And we really do share the same lucky number.
Amazing. Hence our table at the restaurant, table 44.
Hence,
Double 22. Yes,
exactly. We got double 22. We're the double 22.
And in your book, then there's actually a sad reason at the end of why it's called 22 and what happens at age 22. And oh my gosh, by the, I was like, I it gave me the chills. Anyway.
Oh, Sibby.
It was so good. And it's so funny. I'm just going to say this, even though we're on podcast, because I feel like we've become friendly and gotten to know each other, but this is like a deep dive into you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like she is just as nice as she appears. There is, you know what I mean? Like when you see into someone's soul, like all my instincts about you were right, but it's so nice to see it like literally in print that like you are really this awesome, special person deep down to your core. So it's really exciting.
Oh, Zebby, thank you. It just means the world to me that you've read the book.
By the way, you're such a good writer. I circled so many like phrases and sentences and oh my gosh. And I've been thinking about a lot of these things. Anyway, I'm going to read a bunch of the stuff because even some of the quotes from other people that I didn't even know. So anyway, I'm going to jump into it. But before I do that, I want you to explain to listeners what 22 is about. I'm going to let you talk about Copper Books, which we're both so excited about. And you're doing such a great job leading. And by the way, knowing what you're doing now and everything and hearing how you felt about it when you wrote this was so cool. So anyway, Allie, what's your book about?
I love it so much. This is like such a meta conversation on so many levels. So 22 is the book that honestly I wished I had when I was in my early 20s. When I was graduating from college, I pulled an all-nighter with one of my best friends and just, you know, one of those kind of looking at the stars, processing the meaning of life. And back then I said, I wish there was a book that kind of spoke to this season of transition and gave that mentorship and guidance that I feel like we're kind of launching off the, like life has been charted and planned for us year on year. And suddenly we're launching off the edge of a cliff and there's no playbook anymore. And so at the time I said, whatever I do career-wise someday, I know I have to write that book. And it sat with me for 7 years where I kept saying at the right time, I know I have to write that book.
And did you always know you wanted to do it as a letter to Ash? And Ash is totally fictitious.
Right? She is. Yeah. Yeah. That was actually, I was jet lagged on a business trip and I woke up at, I don't know, 5 a.m. It was before the sun rose. I sat up in bed in London and it was like I suddenly saw how the book was going to work. I realized that I had thought that I was going to write something that was a little more prescriptive of like, here's the guidance and the life advice. And it was just this like, I don't know, it's just this flood of like, oh my gosh, I see it. It has to be a relationship. We don't learn through being told, we learn through story. And so that's where I realized, okay, I need to be writing to a character as she's going through college. There's 22 letters in total because there's one every other month. And then you don't read her response because I wanted the reader to feel like it was written to them and that whoever you are reading the book, that you're almost inserting yourself into the story and becoming the main character.
Amazing. But it is still you and all the things that you share are not suspicious at all.
Correct. That is all very, very true to life. Yes. And I was like militant about making sure everything was correct and timing and all of it.
Wow. And I liked how you divided it too by like freshman, sophomore, junior, you know, like into the season of life and how we just kept like going along for this ride. There was one thing that I literally have not stopped thinking about with this was towards the beginning, but it was the body talk section. And you were talking to Ash, but this is basically you saying about your own relationship with your body. And you say in there, you said, can I just read this? Is that okay?
Please.
Okay. I love my body and I resent my body all at once. It's the border between my soul and the world. It keeps me both protected and trapped. It defines me, confines me. It empowers me, devours me. It has limits. It breaks down. It allows me to dance in the redwoods and to jump into waves and to paint. My mind cannot control or shape my body's natural form. It grows and ages outside my command, programmed by some pre-ordered DNA that nothing can override. And yet, it's mine and no one else's. It's the only one I've got and the only one I'll ever have, this side of heaven at least. And you go on to say, I can't take my body back, but I can tend to it. My mind is a gardener to this wild, messy, beautiful plot of land we call our being. I can feed it and care for it and even decorate it. And that's really half the fun, the decoration. But so many young women, myself included, focus too much energy on trying to look like someone else when all we can and should be is the healthiest, most vibrant versions of the physical selves we've been giving. And then at the end of this passage, you say, I suppose that's part of the wonder of bodies, their absolute undeniable frailty. One day they will up and quit, and there's nothing we can do when that final moment comes. We can spend our whole lives running from a certain end, or we can welcome it. For the promise of an end is the very thing that proves we are alive.
Mm. Oh. Right?
So good. It's soulful and beautiful, and it's true. It's like we're just in like the shrink wrap versions of ourselves.
Totally. Totally. And when you step outside of yourself in that way, you can be gentle with yourself. We can stop being so hard. Like I almost see our souls as like, we're here to tend to these bodies that we've been given. And so then it's like, how do I take care of Allie well? How do you take care of Zibby well? What does it look like for Zibby to flourish? What does Zibby at her best feel like? And then how do we care and tend towards that? And there's this quote in the book that I reference, I think in that chapter, that says that, you know, only the like things that are alive, the very nature of them having an ending is what makes them beautiful. And that's why we're unmoved by artificial flowers.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so true. This is why I spend a fortune decorating the house with flowers every week, even though they'll die. It's because it's the aliveness and the limited nature of something's aliveness that makes it so spectacular.
Unbelievable. I love it. You have this whole thing about comparing yourself to other people. And you said spending your days trying to be someone else is like being an actor who only ever auditions to play the understudy. You may have a moment to shine, but likely not. If the understudy is your only aspiration, you will probably spend your whole career rehearsing for the mirror. And you, my darling, are a leading lady. I'm telling you, I have like 1,000 of these. I can't spend the whole podcast talking about it, but just the way you sort of reframe life is just so cool. Oh, even the way you talked about depression. I felt something I'd never experienced in my short life, depression. My body was so heavy, my mind so dull that it took everything in me to climb out of bed in the morning or at noon. I had moved into a new house with girls I liked a lot, but didn't know well, and I slid into a sticky, bitter lump of loneliness. Beautiful.
It's so interesting, Zibby, because I wrote that book in a season where I was in a pretty dark place, and it just kind of was how it worked out, timing of getting the book deal. And I think because I was in such a difficult, heavy season, it actually allowed me to tap into places of creativity and expression that I think aren't available to us when life is just thriving and going great. And so I always feel like that's kind of the invitation of difficult seasons of life is like, how does it allow you to kind of open doors that you wouldn't otherwise open in yourself?
Interesting. You included a lot about the sexual abuse of your mother, which I don't think I can remember reading too much about from anyone else. I'm trying to think now. I'm sorry if I just offended an author who that happened to them as well. But regardless, you talk about a scene where your mom in middle school was invited to a friend's house. Well, do you want to tell it? Or do you?
Yeah. She was 14, and some of the cool girls invited her to come over after school and then told her to go out into the backyard. And there was another one of her classmates waiting out in a shed out there and raped her. And then that happened again. She was date raped in college as well. And so she told me that story when I was that same age, and it just left an indelible mark on me. And actually I spent a decade of my early career working in anti-trafficking, and it really stemmed from that of feeling incapable of caring for my mom or having, I mean, there was no way that I could have protected her, but because I couldn't, it was like, well, how can I use that pain in our family to do some, you know, some good on the most extreme version of that? And I saw that as being actual sexual trafficking and further abuse. So yeah, it was really part of my career origin story was her telling me that at a young age.
And when you asked her what would have happened if she had gotten pregnant, she said she would have killed herself. Mm-hmm. And then I think about everything that's going on today with restrictions on abortion and all this stuff. And anyway, it's crazy.
It was interesting too, because I wrote the section of that book on a writing retreat, and I wrote it. And then I was like, this is too heavy. This is too much. I'm sure my editor will cut this. And then the editor was like, I think we should keep it. And so it was a really kind of meaningful moment to share it with my mom and say, this is your story to tell. It's not my story. Do you want me to take this out? Do you want me to change? You know, I can just refer to a general family member. I want you to have full agency over this. And she sat with it and was like, if it helps one other person, I want you to tell the story. And it took a lot of courage for her to tell that and to share her story through the book. And so I'm just so proud of her, because I think it's a huge act of courage to share something so deeply, deeply personal.
What did anything happen as a result? I know this book came out a little bit ago. Did she get any feedback or like responses, or did you, about that piece of it? Did it change her life in any way having it out there?
Yeah, I think it was honestly hard for her, because there were, you know, many people in her life who didn't know that that happened to her. I mean, when she told me, she'd only told me and my dad, like nobody knew. But I think the power of speaking the unspeakable is that it creates an opportunity for other people who've experienced horrific acts or traumas to be able to start speaking their own pain and healing as a result of that. And then we start bringing those things out into the light, which is where all of the healing takes place. So I think it's been neat to see, even the last couple of years, there's been kind of this cultural moment of speaking these things that have happened. And so that's been an encouragement to me to see it be less stigmatized as well.
You had a beautiful quote from Maya Angelou. Do you remember? It was something like I think it was Maya Angelou, where she said like something weighs on your soul when you keep it in as a secret or something, or the only act of, you know what I'm talking about? I'll find it.
No.
I dogged it. I'll find it again. No, Zibby totally butchered that. And, I have no idea what you're even talking about. All right, I'll find, I'll keep flipping. Okay. Well, I might not be able to find it right this second, but I'm getting there. In the book, you talk about your brother being really sick and the impact of that. And it happened twice, once when he was younger and nobody could figure out why. And then again, when he was older and he went through another season where you felt very helpless, and luckily through some random drug that was a side effect or something, he was cured.
Yeah.
Tell me more about him and how that all affected you and how he is now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, "This is so exciting." So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Gosh, yeah, it was pretty wild when he was in his senior year of high school. I was in college, and there was a point where it got so bad that I got a phone call from my parents and they said, you're going to have to come home to say goodbye and tell your teachers you're going to miss finals. And so, I mean, he was basically starving to death. He had a virus that had caused his small intestine to just shut down. And so he actually couldn't eat or consume food, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong or what was causing it. And it was one doctor who took an interest in his case and didn't give up on him. So many other doctors had kind of just shrugged and said, we don't know, maybe it's an emotional thing, tell him to eat kind of thing. And my mom really, really fought and advocated for him through that. And so yeah, that one doctor who realized what was happening and found a drug that it was like an antidepressant that had a side effect that it relaxed the small intestine, which I have no idea how they'd even figure out that that's a side effect of something. I'm like, how would you know? But he gave it to him. And a day later, Adam was out of the hospital and on the healing journey. And so because of that, he graduated high school early, went overseas to the Middle East with my cousins, decided to go to college. He hadn't even planned to go to college before that. And so, I mean, it was like a dramatically shifted the course of his life. He ended up going on to become an aid worker. He went to grad school as an economist. He now works at the U.S. State Department running these, you know, massive USAID budgets. And is just, it's really incredible how something that really, yeah, something so, so painful and difficult was also kind of a launching off point for a lot of the best things in his life.
Wow. Speaking of doctors, you go through the grisly broken arm, not even fractured. I don't even know what you call it. I was literally like, I had no idea.
I know,
and I was
so
like,
bad.
I should have looked at her arm. And I never noticed anything about her arm. Is it totally better?
Can you see the scar?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I can see.
Yeah, it actually has like, it's metal inside, so it kind of clicks. It's like a party trick.
Oh my gosh. So you kind of knew you were worried about snowboarding, and then next thing you knew.
I know. Isn't that wild? So I had been in Switzerland at this big conference, and the day after went snowboarding, and going into it, I had
not
said
just
to
a
my
big
mom,
conference. You were at Davos, which is very famous.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm like, I didn't know you could just buy a ticket to Davos. But anyway,
oh, you can't. No, you can't.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, as part of kind of the impact investing work that I had been doing, I had the incredible, like, once in a lifetime opportunity to go, and I had said to my mom beforehand, I'm like, I really do want to go snowboarding. I'm afraid I'll fall and break my arm, which is like, I don't think like that. I don't say things like that. It was so, so strange. And yeah, sure enough, it was a freak accident where I was going too fast and caught an edge and flipped in the air and landed just the right way. And so the radial head is this bone that sits in your elbow, and it actually like exploded inside my arm. And so I had to fly back three trains, 2 flights. To New York. And I was mid-moved to New York during that time. My room was at the top of a 6-floor walk-up in January, in the coldest winter New York had in, you know, recent history. And I couldn't even wear, like, I couldn't wear long sleeves. I had to like drape things over my shoulders to try and stay warm. No central heat. I mean, that was a pretty tough season, but thank God for my surgeon and physical therapist, because I wouldn't have made it otherwise.
I did a podcast recently with a woman named Teresa Brown, who wrote a book called Healing, all about the healthcare system and how she was a nurse who had cancer. And in my podcast with her, I talked about that scene in your book, because I was like, I know somebody, and she had to like call all these doctors, and she only had 3 days to save her arm, and nobody would take her.
Totally. It makes you realize how, you know, you don't think about the medical industry until, I mean, I don't think I've ever felt more vulnerable in my life, because we got back, I flew back, landed in the States, went straight to the ER, assuming they would just wheel me in and put me into surgery. And they go in, do all the CT scans and everything. And they're like, okay, well, you need to go find an orthopedic surgeon. Good luck. And the Swiss had said, do the surgery in the next 3 days or you'll have permanent long-term damage. And so to be in that, to have that feeling of no one will take me, no one will do this big surgery because it's so complex. Yeah, it was super scary trying to get, and I had California insurance that New York doctors wouldn't take. And it was, yeah.
I was just talking about how crazy it is when you have an emergency like that and then you have to wait for like an MRI clearance. Who is the one who's like, I'm just going to like scam the system by getting an MRI of my left my left ankle bone. Like nobody's doing this. Just like approve the things. Anyway, another thing you said, just remember your heart cannot dance if it's drowning. I don't know. There's just, these things are sticking with me. I feel like they should all be quotes. This whole thing about your entrepreneurial spirit. And then you write, which I appreciated, the curse of the entrepreneurial heart is that you will never be satisfied. Entrepreneurs are never content. That's what makes them entrepreneurial. The very restlessness that drives you forward will be the same angst that keeps you up at night. Entrepreneurship is both a fire igniting and a fire consuming.
Oh, Do you remember writing this? No, I don't remember writing that.
Well, then you say, be aware of this, Ash, as you embark on new ventures. You'll be tempted to think that success, that the finish lines will relieve you of your angst. But the reality is, for people like us, the journey is where the joy of work is worked out.
That is the major myth, is you think this whole time, if I can just do this thing, if I can just hit that mark, if I can just achieve whatever that thing is, and then you do, and you realize that's not the thing that's gonna, you know, make you suddenly feel like you've arrived in some way. I actually have this philosophy about books and great books, is that every nonfiction book has to have a moral of the story. So you should be able to distill the big idea in a way that you can easily share with somebody else. And so I think I wrote the first chapter and really sat with like, what is the message that I'm trying to share through this book? And I realized it's that the journey is the destination. Because when I was a kid, I had this idea that one day I was going to hit 35 and have arrived, and like, suddenly my life would just be together and I'd be this fully formed adult. And then you just kind of, you're grown up, and then you just go, you know, live your life. And when I realized that we never actually arrive, and that the process is the destination, it kind of changes everything, because you realize it's the how, not the what. Yeah. And it shifts the way that we live day to day. It certainly has for me.
Amazing. Okay. One more piece. I don't usually like go through all like, but there are just so many of these things. This is about going through a hard time. And actually, when you were revealing everything that you were going through publicly, somebody said to you, you're going through an incredibly difficult time and it's okay to be honest about it. You don't have to pretend that everything is all right. And you said, I nodded, lip quivering. No one had ever given me that permission, or maybe I'd never given it to myself. Quote, you will minister far more to the women in your section if you are real with them in your pain than if you pretend to have it all together. I was like, underline.
Totally. Well, that's another myth, is that we think that if we're composed and in control of our life, that is going to allow us to have the greatest impact on people. And it's actually through our vulnerability and our weaknesses and our failures and the difficult points that actually you build real relationships and connection. And like, some of the most meaningful moments, and even in friendships and family for me, has been those really, really hard seasons and how people show up for you and vice versa.
And then the last thing that I'm taking with me out of here as one of the many things is, if it's not absolutely yes, then it's absolutely no.
Yeah, right.
Like, wait. I'm like, that's an interesting framework by which to live. Okay.
Totally. I still say that when I get asked to do things, if it's not the hell yes, it's, it's hell no. And it just makes a much easier decision matrix because you realize there are certain things that you get asked to do and it's, you just light up and you're like, obviously, yes, of course I want to do that. And then the things that you wrestle with and are, you know, those are usually just a pass. But Zibby, I love this because I just read your book, I don't know, a month or so after it came out, and I read it in one day and I felt like I listened to it on audiobook and I felt like I had just spent this like a whole day deep diving with you on your life story. And I loved it. And I just felt like, oh my gosh, I know you in all these deep, incredible ways and all of the wisdom from the grief that you've navigated and just all of the origin story of what you're doing now. And it was just so beautiful to know you deeply. And so I loved it. I feel like we've almost had this asynchronous friendship.
No, I should have read your book earlier. I feel terrible now. I'm like, I should have read this months ago. No. But no, I feel the same way. Anyway, I'm like sending out all these like love waves. It was really nice.
I love it.
Anyway.
I love it.
Okay, Copper Books. Quick.
Yeah.
Tell everybody about Copper Books.
Yes. So I actually published 22 while I was getting my MBA over at Oxford. So I was in business school. I made the ill-advised like life decision to try and do both of those at the same time, to be in business school, a 1-year program, and do the book publishing process. But releasing the book and thinking about business and markets, it really had me asking a lot of questions about how books come to market, how authors reach readers. And it felt like I just felt a little overwhelmed by the whole process and like there wasn't a lot of transparency in it. And so then I started asking questions of, could there be a better way? And what would it look like for authors to reach readers and for readers to build meaningful community around books? And how do we get more people reading more broadly? And I realized if you look at all of the social platforms that exist today, they all start by taking a creator and making them the star in some way. So Instagram was for photographers, TikTok was for dancers, Twitch was for gamers, Etsy was for crafters. And it felt like authors had gotten left out of the creator economy. And so I, in a long circuitous path, set out to build a platform to help them build an audience and reach an audience. The app released back in May. And so encourage everybody to download. You can just search Copper Books in the App Store on iOS. And you can actually follow Zibby and see, she does a bookshelf of all of the books and authors that she's interviewing for her podcast. You can find joint discussions, live events.
I have to update it. Okay, I'll do that today. Keep going.
No. But it's, yeah. So there's a whole live events feature. So you can meet authors. If you're an aspiring author, it's especially geared towards aspiring authors just starting out, wanting to build community. You can share, track your reading. You can actually, we just released a feature where now when you hit finished on a book, it'll shoot confetti, which is my favorite part. So you can track what you're reading and share recommendations with your friends. And it's really fun. I feel like I'm addicted to the app at this point. It's so joyful to use. And I probably read 5 times as much now because I'm just so inspired by all of the incredible books and content out there. I'm just like voraciously reading as much as possible. So the irony is that it's an app that the goal is to get you off the app and into the book.
I love it. Do you have any time to write these days? I feel like I know you said you wanted to write another book at some point. I feel like you need to write another book very soon.
I actually have started working on it. I just talked to a publisher who I think is interested in it. So we're going to start kind of taking the book out there in January, February. And yeah, I'm going to kick off the process again. I lead a writing retreat every year and was just doing some writing on the book last week. And so it's been fun to, this one I feel like is, I just kind of scratched the surface and it pours out of me because it's really the journey of building this company and that kind of entrepreneurial mindset and how do you build resiliency and overcome failures, setbacks, letdowns, and pursue that dream that just keeps you up at night, whatever that is in your life. And it's similar, you know, similar to 22, what I wish I had. This is going to be the book that I wish someone had handed to me when I was first incorporating a business.
Well, you could just keep this going for a long time. What I wish I knew about
I know, right?
What I wish I'd known about. I know. Anyway.
Totally.
Okay. So everybody check out Copper Books. It's in the App Store and this beautiful book 22, which has the most
gorgeous cover. Oh my gosh. So anyway.
That's my handwriting.
Is it really?
Yes. 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 Yeah. I asked them if we could use my handwriting, and I was at the office. I took a colored pencil and I wrote 22 and sent them a picture of it just to show them that my handwriting was okay. And they just grabbed that and used it for the cover. So yeah. Gorgeous.
Totally gorgeous. Oh my gosh. All right. Thanks, Ellie. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Zibby. It was so fun. Such a joy. I love seeing you.
You too. Okay. Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.